Well, my friends, today on this Rejoice Sunday, it's Laudate Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Lent. And it's, of course, the one of two times a year where the priest wears robes. And I'm reminded today of Father Rick Eldred, who just passed away this past week. He was a priest of our diocese, very faithful man. And he would always kind of joke on this day that when he would wear the rose, he would always say, "I feel like I'm a walking Pepto-Bismol bottle." And I remember him very fondly. He did a lot of good things for our diocese, so we remember him in this Mass too. But it's this combination, right, of the dark kind of purple of a penitential color of Lent and the white of Easter Sunday. And so we have the mixture of the two, this rose, as kind of the church's way of saying you're almost there and keep on going through this desert experience, because the resurrection is on the other side and there's something lighter there. So keep on going. And maybe that's a really important message for us today. But as we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Lent, this Rejoice Sunday, the church provides us the several different readings that contain life-changing experiences in them. In our gospel, we have a man who was born blind and all of a sudden can see. I mean, just think for a moment of what that moment was like when he opened his eyes. Because until this moment, he had never seen anything. Nothing. He didn't know what the color yellow was. He didn't know what a house looked like. He didn't know what a human being really looked like. He could feel kind of his own body, but like he had no sense of what things appeared to be and what they looked like. And all of a sudden, a whole new world is opened to him by Jesus. Life-changing moment. In our second reading, St. Paul talks to the church in Ephesus, and he says, friends, when you bring Christ into your life, you go from dark to light. And all of a sudden, there's light, like a whole different universe that you never even experienced or even knew was there. And there it is, like a life-changing moment, this encounter with Christ and what he will do for you. Just imagine if you never had seen the daytime. And until now, all you knew was dark. All you knew was night. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a day. And everything is just amazing. Our first reading, too, contained a life-changing experience where Jesse brings Samuel to all his sons. They're all lined up, all except one. And one by one, Samuel says, nope, that's not the next king. Nope, nope, nope. And he goes, don't you have any other sons? And Jesse says, well, I guess there's one other one, but you don't want him. He's off in the fields. He's the youngest. He's the weakest. And Samuel says, bring him here. And that life-changing moment when Samuel says, this is the one that God wants. And when he anoints him to be the next king of Israel, to follow the corrupt Saul. What a life-changing moment that was, right? And all of these life-changing moments that our scriptures provide to us today are kind of like happy and really positive changes. These things just happen and it's like, wow, we jump on our knees and we thank our God because it's so amazing. It's easy to do that, huh? When things are real good. When it's quite apparent that like this thing is a blessing, this thing is awesome. But what about when there's harder stuff? What about when there's life-changing moments that are a little bit more difficult to swallow? Think about last week, huh? We had the feast day of St. Patrick. Think about what that young man went through when he was taken as a slave for 7 years. By the pirates. Like, that must have been hard. That was a life-changing moment. But as a result of it, Ireland became the Catholic capital of the world eventually. God worked through that, huh? Think about Joseph. His feast day was on Thursday this past week. Think about what it must have been like to have been assigned this spot as the foster father of the Holy Family. And he didn't have anything. He's thinking, how am I going to provide for Jesus, how am I going to provide for the Blessed Mother when I don't have anything? And then think about what it must have been like when he took the Holy Family led them to Egypt and back, like all these difficult, horrible moments and life-changing things left and right that Joseph, the simple carpenter, went through. Real hard. But as a result, Joseph is now provider of the whole church and provided for that Holy Family beautifully and is a model for every person in the world, especially fathers and especially priests. Think about the life-changing moments, that the difficult ones that are patroness of this diocese. Mother Theodora Guerin, as she and her sisters came from France in the middle of these horrific storms, and they almost died a whole bunch of times. But think about the life-changing call that she experienced, and the life-changing moments on that sea, that across the ocean, that she almost died in. Like, but on the other side of it, the church blossomed here because of that, because they went through that horrible, these seeming horrible things, God redeems. And I think maybe that's like an important message for us, you know, is that our faith is built on redemption. It's built on redemption, that God can take something horrible and turn it into something good. We think about the cross, the most horrific instrument of death that known to man at the time of our Lord 2,000 years ago. And Jesus takes that horrible thing and turns it into the instrument and the means by which you and I have the opportunity of eternal life. God can take the horrific things that St. Patrick went through, the horrific things that St. Joseph, all the saints went through, and he can bring beauty and new life through them. And I can't help but think about the horrific situation that we are dealing with now. I think it's all on our minds. COVID-19. And it is not of God. God does not cause suffering. God does. You heard that in the first reading. They said, the gospel, I mean. The people are like, hey, who sinned that this guy was born blind? What is his mom or is his dad? And Jesus says, neither of them. That's not how God works. COVID-19 is not from God. But God can redeem it. And God is redeeming it even already. God can take something terrible and breathe new life through it. Today is the feast day of St. Mindred, and the Benedictine monks have the beauty. They all live by the rule of St. Benedict, and one of the lines in there is that in all things God may be glorified. In all things God may be glorified. Think of Job and how Job, piece by piece, his life fell apart. He lost his animals. He lost his land. He lost his house. He lost his family. Talk about social distancing. He lost his whole normal life. He lost his health, all because of a plot of the enemy. But it didn't work, because at the end, Job stayed faithful. Through the midst of everything, he gave praise and glory to God. And every single loss that came his way, he still praised God. He still gave glory. Just like St. Patrick in the midst of his years of his slavery, St. Joseph in the midst of those horrible journeys, Mother Theodora Garrett, all these people, all the saints, they praised God throughout the midst of it. And Job prays and he thanks God and he praises God, and nothing is going to get him down, and nothing does give him down. Even when his friends tell him to give up on everything, his wife tells him to give up, but he keeps the faith. He keeps the faith, and he keeps praying all the more. And guess what? Eventually it all turns out all right. And Job gets everything back times two. And friends, like, that's it. God redeems things. He works through everything, even through the brokenness and through the difficulties. God will redeem every bloody thing. And that's the promise. That's the promise. And so in the midst of this horrific thing, let's think and pray about how is God working here? Like, how is God redeeming this? He didn't cause it, but what good is he bringing through it? God is bigger than a virus. And God will bring things good out of it. And one good thing that I'm seeing already is the strengthening of families who are forced almost to be around each other all the more. Huh? That's a good thing. Think about the strengthening of the domestic church. A lot of our houses didn't have altars in them before. Now they do. Think about how we're turning and strengthening, increasing our faith, because a lot of people are telling me they pray in more now than they ever have in their lives. Think about the way that this thing is making us to realize how fragile our humanity is, but also how much we depend on Jesus for everything, every breath. And think about how God is increasing our love, our appreciation for everything. Listen to what Pope Francis says. I thought this was beautiful. Tonight, before falling asleep, think about when we will return to the street, when we will hug again, when all the shopping together will seem like a party. Let's think about when the coffees will return to the bar, the small talk, the photos close to each other. We think about it when it will all be a memory, but normality will seem an unexpected and beautiful gift. We will love everything that has so far seemed futile to us. Every second will be precious. Swims at the sea, the sun until late, sunsets, toasts, laughter. We will go back to laughing together. Strength and courage. And friends, that's what it's about, huh? God redeems everything. He works through everything. And let's give thanks and praise to God and ask his blessing upon us in this time. And we just thank God and praise God, even in the midst of it. Just as Jesus continues to praise the Father as he carries his cross, even to the point of Calvary. Because on the other side is the resurrection.